Good morning, everybody.
Ve'ele ha'mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Those are the laws you put in front of them. So what's the meaning in front of them? And why specifically those laws that we've got in our parasha? And we understand that we're talking here about laws that are concerning the Jewish nation. But when we look in the parasha, those laws are normal laws that every society has to have. Is if somebody steals, if somebody damages somebody, or is property damages property of the others. That's what it's all about. And this is a normal thing in the whole world. And Rashi says, those laws are specially for the Jewish nation. And nevertheless, you're not allowed to go to a normal court in order to have a case that you, if you have a lawsuit against somebody, you have to go to Beis Din. Mm-hmm. Now, you will ask, okay, this is not reasonable because today doesn't happen. You know, most of the things are happening in a normal high, in a normal court. So what we have to do really is, if somebody summons you to court, there's nothing to do. You have to go to the court. But if you are the one who is trying to sue somebody else, you have to do it through the Beis Din. Now, how do you do it? Because for sure, most of the people, they won't even listen. Hi, good morning. They won't even listen to your idea, suing them in Beis Din. So what do you do is, you go to Beis Din, you tell them that you have this case, and the Beis Din checks what it is and he tells you, you know, you've got our permission to go to a normal court. So then you go to a normal court, but you have to go through if you want to really do it in the proper way. Unfortunately, most of us don't do it this way. If we have any problems, we go to the Beit Mishpat, the normal court, and it's not as terrible as it used to be, because today that's the way that we live and we're used to it. So, but if you want to know the law says very clearly, you're not allowed to do this. You have to go through the Beis Din. Then if the Beis Din gives you permission, which is going to happen anyway, but you have to do it this way. That's the way to do it. Anyway, what is so special about our laws? As we said, if somebody steals 200 shekels from you, if you go to a Beis Din or you go to a normal court, I presume that it's going to be the same thing. Both places, they will tell the guy or the one who took the money from you, give him back the money. So what is so terrible if I go to a normal court? This is because we really don't understand how different are our laws from the others. And they are. Unfortunately, we look only on the surface. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, those who look at the Bible as a story, those are stupid people. Because it's not the stories, it's not history, and it's not stories. It's much more than it. It's like you're wearing clothes. It's like looking at the clothes and not on who is wearing the clothes. In other words, what we're reading on the surface, it's the clothes of the Torah. It has a connection, of course, with the inside, but if you only care about the outside, you are stupid. So we have to dig inside to understand. So if the Torah tells us, those are the laws that we have to go and do what God is telling us, and even if they look the same, they're not the same. And the real truth is, they're not the same. We can just take a few samples that are very obvious that they're not the same. For example, interest. Are we allowed to take interest?
No, not from Jews.
Not a full answer. Yeah. You're not allowed to take interest from a Jew, but you're allowed to take interest from a goy. And this doesn't look good.
No.
Doesn't look good. But the real truth is, if you think about it, it is very, very right, because if your children ask you for a loan, would you give it to them?
Yes.
Would you ask interest?
It's your brother.
No.
It's your brother.
You will ask him, no. If a goy is going to loan you money, is he going to take interest?
A goy, sure.
He's going to take interest. By the way, it's you have to understand that today in the real world, everybody takes interest. But you have to do it according to aloha, as we said before. It's not a game. We have to understand. This is exactly the idea. We don't look at what is on the outside. The outside, it looks like terrible. Oh, you say you're not allowed to take interest, but we all know we pay interest to the bank. We take loans with interest. And the Torah says you're not allowed to. By the way, you're not allowed not only to take the interest, you're not allowed to pay interest.
Yeah.
Yes, you're not allowed to pay interest. It goes both ways. That's what he's saying. That's why we have to understand what's going on here. So the Torah, because today business is being done in a different way, and you know, it's only fair, you know, if you take money from somebody, and let's say you take it in dollars, or you take it in shekels, and then the money is not the same as it used to be. You know, for example, if I will check how much a house today costs, and how much it cost 50 years ago, and sorry to tell you, if I give somebody a loan 50 years ago and it's going to give me the same money back, this is stealing. But the Torah tells you that's not so simple. You're not allowed to take interest. So what do? You do a partnership. A partnership means we lose together and we gain together. That's what we call Eter Iska. Every bank in Israel has got Eter Iska. And Eter Iska gives the bank a permission to take from you interest because you are really, when you sign with the bank, you're really signing on a partnership. Yes, it's not exactly a normal partnership, but the idea is that whatever you do in life, you do through the Torah. In other words, things do change, but only from the outside. The inside is still there. And this is now to understand, first of all, we understand very clearly that it is fair that I take interest from a goy and not from a Jew. Because a Jew is like my mother, my father, my children, it's my brother. In other words, I won't take interest from my brother, but somebody who does not from my family, and nevertheless, he also takes interest from me, why shouldn't I take interest from him? It's no problem with it. If we're talking now on another sample, if you abuse somebody in the public, according to our law, you are like a murderer. The goyim have this thing?
No.
So in other words, if we go and dig into each one of our laws, we will find that it's not the same. For example, if somebody kills somebody, you know what you have to do in order to bring him to court?
No.
You have to be two witnesses.
No.
They have to see it done. They have to warn him. And it has to be done directly after they warn him. In other words, if I see two people, one with a knife in his hand, chasing somebody else, and they go now into this shade, there's nothing there, a very small shade, and they go in, and I run after them, and when I go in, I see this guy lying on the floor, dead. He is stabbed with a knife, and the guy is standing on top of him with a knife with blood dropping. It's very clear that this guy killed the guy here. What is the Torah telling you?
No.
Nothing to do.
See.
You've got no. You didn't see it. You didn't warn him. And you are only one. You need two witnesses. So they say Beit Din Katlani, like a really bad Beit Din, they killed the guy in one in 70 years. Because it's very difficult to bring somebody to court. So you would say now something 1 minute. So what's going on here? What? Murderer are going to go free?
Yeah.
If we believe in God, we do know, and God is telling us in our parasha, Ki lo atzdik et harasha. Don't worry. I am here. For example, we know that if somebody kills somebody intentionally, he has to be killed. He has to come to court and has to be killed. If he does all according to all our laws. And if somebody by mistake accidentally kills somebody, he has to run away to Ir Miklat.
Okay.
Yes. Now imagine to yourself, and the Rashi brings it in our parsha, imagine to yourself that the guy who killed somebody by mistake, nobody saw it, so he's going on with his life. He's not running away to Ir Miklat, because Ir Miklat is also, this shelter is also not exactly a reward, it's a punishment. Because you were not careful enough, as we talked about in the past. Now somebody else killed intentionally somebody, but there was no witnesses. As we said, let's say for example, for the case we said before, that even if there was a witness, it was not enough to bring him to court. What is God doing? Says Rashi, he brings them to the same place. And the guy who killed by accident is climbing a ladder, and the guy that killed intentionally sitting down near the ladder, the guy falls from the ladder and kills the guy that killed intentionally and nobody saw. But now everybody is seeing, so the guy who killed by accident, the guy underneath him, and he did it already, but nobody saw, so he didn't go to Ir Miklat. Now he has to go to Ir Miklat, because everybody sees him. In other words, if we have the emunah in God, we do know that there is somebody up there, and he looks after us, and he is going to make sure that those who have to get punished are going to get punished. This is the Torah. Ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. Another interesting issue. Now, if we want to talk about it, we talked about it in the past. For you know what Yolo is? Yolo is this ma'adan that you call Yolo, this chocolate thing. You know what it is?
No.
You know? Oh, they say it's unbelievable. When they started taking it out, they had this old advertising of it's so good, it tastes like a sin. That's what their slogan.
It's a kind of chocolate.
Yes. It's like a yogurt. Yeah. A chocolate yogurt. They say it's very tasty. It tastes like a sin. That's what they sing. That was their slogan. Unbelievable.
Right.
You know, like, what do you think if you think like, oh, 1 minute. So it means that to enjoy life, I have to sin. Because otherwise I'm going to suffer. Then, you know what the initials of YOLO is in English?
No.
You only live once. True. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You only live once, yes?
Yeah.
This is life. And, you know, those are so, things that are so used to hear them, that it's, you know, we think, okay, yes. Like Coca-Cola. What is the slogan of Coca-Cola here in Israel? Ta'am ha-chaim, the taste of life. Really? Coca-Cola, the taste of life. No, it's so stupid to think about it. But this is brainwashing. They brainwash us the whole time. And this is exactly what the Torah is telling you. We have our own laws. Don't even think that we live the same life as the others. We have different life. Our things, what for us to do a mitzvah, it's good. It's tasty. It tastes so good to do a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. If you feel the love to God, there is nothing more than a love to God. If you really feel it, you know that God loves you. And whatever He does is for your own benefit. So you enjoy doing the mitzvahs. You know, if you love somebody, you want to do things for him. You want to. It's not that you have to. You want to do things for him. So this is the reason that the Torah says, "Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem." Talking about brainwashing, I wrote about it a few years ago. Pepsi did a test. Pepsi, you know Pepsi?
Yes.
They did a test, and they put 3 glasses in front of the people with nothing, of course, written on them. Then one they put Coke, the normal Coke, Coca-Cola. The other one they put Pepsi-Cola. And then the third one, RC-Cola. Those are 3 companies, RC-Cola. Those are 3 companies in the state that go, they sell a lot. Of course, Coca-Cola sells the most. Now, they did a test, and you know what the results were? Unbelievable. Pepsi won. Most of the people decided that Pepsi is more, it's better, tastes better than the real Coke. But they didn't know that it is Pepsi or what is the real Coke. But they chose Pepsi. After it was finished, they asked them, what is the better taste Coke in what you think? What did you know what they said?
Coca-Cola.
But they just now bring Pepsi. No. They were so brainwashed And by the way, it didn't help Pepsi to sell more. Still, Coca-Cola selling much more than them. Because they are so... People sometimes ask, why do Coca-Cola advertise all the time? You know, everybody knows Coca-Cola. That's brainwashing. You look at it, every corner of the street you see Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, no? Ta'am ha-chaim, ta'am ha-chaim. So when you go and you are thirsty, and you go to a kiosk, what are you going to ask?
Coca-Cola.
Give me a Coke, please. Why? Why not strawberry juice? Whatever. Because we are brainwashed. And this is exactly also with the laws. If you think for a minute that their laws are like ours, nothing to compare. It's a whole different story.
Just to come back to the killing.
Yes.
It doesn't apply to a soldier of war, does it?
What, did he kill somebody?
Yes.
Well, of course not. What do you mean? He has to do it. Abba le'orgecha ashkem le'orgo. The interesting, we're talking about this in our parsha, is that if somebody comes in the middle of the night to steal from you, you're allowed to kill him. Why? Because he, if he comes in the middle of the night to steal, he might have a gun or a knife, and if he's got the opportunity and you wake up in the middle of the night and you see him, he's going to kill you. So of course you have the right to kill him. But the Torah says this is if he comes in. But im zarcha lo hashemesh, if the sun rises on him, you're not allowed to kill him. What does it mean if the sun rises on him? It says if it is clear to you, as the sun in the day, that this thief is not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. And what is the sample that Rashi brings there? If a father comes in the middle of the night to steal from his son, what do you think? The father is going to kill the son if the son catches him?
No.
Of course not. So if this is clear, like this case, you're not allowed to kill him. The son is not allowed to kill the father. Which is very reasonable, okay? But you know, what is very interesting is that the example is not if a son comes to steal from a father. The sample is if a father comes to steal from a son. And we all know that there is a big difference. Parents can raise up 10 children. 10 children cannot raise one parent. And we all know it. So see how clever the Torah is and how it's telling us things with everything. That this is digging in and understanding. Those are our laws. Then there is this unbelievable question. We all know that Am Yisrael says, Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do and then we'll hear. And they're talking about this Tzdoki. Tzdoki, the Tzdoki, they believed only in the written Torah. And not in the Torah Shebaal Peh of our sages. So he sees this Rava, one of our biggest Tanaim, sitting on the floor. I don't know how you say Miss Yeshiva Mizrahi. You've got his folded feet, and his hands are underneath his feet, and he's sitting like this and learning, and he sees that he's so into the learning that blood comes out of his fingers, because he's really pushing it. So he says, you are a stupid nation. How stupid can you be? Look at yourself. And this is what you did in the past also. You, first of all, said to God, you're going to do, and then you're going to hear. Who is so stupid to do and then to hear? First of all, you hear, and then you know, is it good for me or not? So what is this idea of doing things really in this way? It's unbelievable. That's a matter of emunah. If we really believe in God, and God is our Father in heaven that loves us so much, we've got no problem. Because Father is not going to tell us something that is not good for us. So in other words, oh, my Father is telling us what to do? First of all, I'm doing it. Because it's for me, it's for the best. Then I can hear whatever was asked. There is a famous story that happened, I think, a few years ago. Or maybe less, I don't know. This is this guy from South Africa, which is called Kivi Bernhardt.
Yeah.
You know the story?
No, we know him.
Oh, you know him. So hear the story about him. This guy is a very clever guy. And he wrote a book about leopards. He took the leopard and he put it on the business world. Like learning from a leopard how to do business. And it became a bestseller. And everybody invited him to talk. One day he gets a phone from John, which is the vice president of Microsoft, International Microsoft, one of the top people. and he's asking him to come and open their convention, and he's going to be the lecturer that opens the convention of Microsoft worldwide, which means thousands of people, maybe even more. So he was very happy about it. He tells him the date, he looks in the calendar, says, sorry, it's Shabbos. Oh. I'm a Jew that keeps mitzvahs, I'm observing Jew, I'm not going to work on Shabbos. He says, what's the problem? It's not enough? I'm double you the salary, double you the money, triple the money. You know what? I give you a check, an open check, you write what you want. He says, it's not a matter of money. I'm not going to Mechalel Shabbos. I'm not working on Shabbos. The guy puts down the phone. An hour later, they phone him again. We move the day, and it's going to be on Sunday. A real story. 2 months later, he phones him. I must tell you a story. I'm just now coming back from a flight with the private jet of Bill Gates, which is the owner of Microsoft and the general manager, the top guy. And we were talking about a convention, and we're talking about you, how you were not prepared to bend even a little. And Bill Gates said, you see, a guy with principles. I can buy planes, I can buy buildings, I can buy everything, but I cannot buy one Shabbos of a Jew. Unbelievable. This is Kiddush Hashem. But then I was thinking to myself, 1 minute, let's put things in proportion. You know, what he did, by the way, it's unbelievable, really unbelievable. But from the other point of view, if they would ask us, sitting here on this table, what would we do? I'm sure that we do the same. No?
I don't think so.
If they offer you now...
There'll be a few who will...
No, no, I'm talking about us here. Here, sitting here. Don't dare say another answer, believe me. Well, you're sitting here.
There's another thing in the case.
What?
Beauty Deutsch, the marathon runner, wants to be nominated to run the marathon Olympics in Japan, and then the organizer said they shifted it to Shabbos, so she said, even the marathon of the Olympic Games is on Shabbos, I'm not going, because she's a Haredi woman and a mother of 5 children, and one of the marathons she ran was when she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah. This is believing in God. If we really believe in God, each one of us, if they offer him even $1 million to Mechalel Shabbos, and by the way, everybody is seeing it. It's not like you're doing it in your room that nobody sees. You Mechalel Shabbos in front of Farhesia, what we call. I'm sure that a lot of us won't take the $1 million because we are... our people gave their life for our tradition, for our religion. Gave their life. Not once. And not twice. But it's still, it's a big thing. Because, you see, if we go back in history, it was a much more difficult question. Because when people came to the States years ago, and there was no parnosa, and they came as immigrants with no money, with nothing, a lot of people worked on Shabbos. And we know, we can understand it. Because, you know, it's very easy to say, believe in God. But when you have a family and they don't have anything to eat, it's a problem. Of course, there were those who were observant and didn't challel Shabbos at all. But there were a lot of people, a lot of Jews, that didn't have any option and they were afraid for their families and they went to work on Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem today, it's not the issue. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have the options. We are not suffering from... we don't have money to live another day. Baruch Hashem, we have everything. So if you come to one of us today, it's much easier to say, no, I'm not going to Mechalel Shabbos. But the idea here in this story, it's much more deeper. It's the same way as we talk on Shabbos, because Shabbos is our sign, it's unbelievable. But every mitzvah, we should act like this. Because if you really believe in God, you don't have a problem. You do only ishtadlu. for Parnoso, you do what you have to do and that's it. Because it's not in your hands. That is believing. This is what Am Yisrael said, and they said it as one. Na'aseh v'nishma. We believe in God. We don't care what you're going to tell us. You are our God. You are our Father in heaven. Whatever you tell us to do, willingly we're doing it. Because we are sure that it's for our best. So if God tells us we're not allowed to eat this, and we're not allowed to do this, but we have to do this, and we have to do that, this is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, in other words, this is things that our Father gives us in order for us to have better life. You see, for example, people, if we look at what's written in our parsha, talking about the stop with the slave. What is a slave? Do we have a slave today? But the real truth is that we do have slaves. Because we can be a slave doesn't mean that you have a master as a person. A slave can be a slave of the money, a slave of the bank, a slave of life. We all know how people behave. Like the neighbors got this, I need it also. But I haven't got the money, so what do? I take a loan.
If someone would want to pay me $1 million to be in the fire, Shabbos, and I would say no, because what does $1 million buy me if I have a very bad conscience? Having a good conscience is worth much more than $1 million.
But that's exactly the point. The point is very simple. If we believe in God, we know that the real truth is God, and there is nothing else. And if there is nothing else, there is no reason for us to do things against God. Because if you do something against God, it's not going to give us any good things. We are going to suffer at the end of the day. Because God gives us all those laws that are going to give us good life, beautiful life, in order for us to really... Just for example, you know, I go to exhibitions. When you go to an exhibition, you see what they build there in the exhibition. It's unbelievable. Really, they build those things that they cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm not exaggerating. That's what it costs. It's cost a fortune. And you know, you walk there for 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and then they throw everything out. They invested a fortune in a few days. And then they throw it all out. And you look at it and says, that's a big lesson. That's life. You build houses, you buy cars, you buy clothes, and then it all ends, and you throw everything up because there you don't go. As you say, la tachrichim en kisim. There is no pockets in the tachrichim. We go with nothing. So, but people don't think like this. They enjoy life, buy, and instead of making sure that we buy olam haba. From the other side, I was thinking there is a double lesson here. Because look how much money they invest those companies in a few days. Why? Why do they do it?
Because it's good for them.
What's good? What's good?
Because they want to sell more.
No. Business for how long?
For longer. Not for those days.
Because sometimes those few days give them parnosa for a few years.
Yes.
In other words, they are very clever. So this is the way we have to think. There is one side of the coin, and the other side is we are in here in a limited time. So we have to do whatever we can here in order to have parnosa where? In the Olam Haba. So we build building of mitzvahs. We use the time here in a proper way. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim. And we'll end this lesson with another interesting point. He says, "Ele ha-mishpatim tasim lifneim." He says, you put them in front of them like a ready-made meal. In other words, if you think, Moshe, that you go down and you tell them one, two, twice, three times the law, and then you can go home, no. You have to make sure that they understand what you're saying. It's like you don't put in front of them a chicken not cooked. The chicken has to be cooked. On the plate, with a knife and a fork, you just have to put the fork in and eat. That's the way I want you to put the laws in front of them. Now, what is so important with those laws that you have to put them this way? because they're not all the laws, because those laws are really laws that no, we have to live them. You cannot go and ask, as we said last week, every small question the rabbi. You need to know the basic things. In order to know them, the one who is teaching you has to give it to you in a way that you understand everything. That you realize what it's all about. And this is the Elam Shmachim Tassim Lifneim. And talking about a slave, everybody is a slave.
Absolutely.
And but you can choose whose slave you are. Eved Hashem, says Even Gvirol, Ua Chofshi. The one who is the slave of God, he is the really free man. Because whatever God tells you to do, it's not for God. It's for you. It's for the best. Whatever our Father tells us to do, is for us to have better life. So in other words, it's like somebody comes to you. We're talking about Bill Gates. Bill Gates will come to you and offer you an unbelievable offer. You know, I want you to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. And your reward is going to be that I'm going to give you a beautiful house, all the things you need in the house on me. Cars, as many as you want, the best cars in the world. Food, the best food. The only thing I want you is to do what I tell you to do. I think a lot of people will jump on this. I don't have to worry about anything. This guy is going to provide me everything. Now, if on top of this he is telling you that I am going also, what you're doing for me, you're going to get rewarded. So not enough you're going to get here all the things you need. At the end of the job, when you are finishing being my slave, all the money that you worked for, you're going to get. It's going to be a big reward. Now God is coming to us and telling us something much, much, much better. Because God is the one and the only one. He rules the whole world. He does everything and He knows everything. And He's our Father in heaven. And He tells you, listen to me. And you will get everything. Who is stupid enough to say no? Who is stupid enough to say, no, I'm going to be a slave of my desires. I'm going to be the slave of Yankale. No. We are the slaves of God in a good way. Because God says, Avdei Hashem Atem. You, what is Avdei? Avdei is from working. Avodah. We worship God. We work for God. But we're really working from whom? For ourselves. That's the real truth. Because what is God telling us? It's like this, really quickly, this mashal that somebody gives, the Rav Adam Sinai brings. This guy, the king lets him go in to the treasure hole, and you take whatever you want. He takes it, puts it in a box, comes out, and the king throws the box, and everything is thrown. He says, okay, no problem, go again. And he goes again, the same story. 4 or 5 times, he does the same story. He says, what are you doing to me? He says, don't worry, it's all for your own good. What are you doing for your own good? I'm picking up all the things and you're throwing it away and I've got nothing. He says, no. Now, everything that is out here is yours. In other words, sometimes it looks like God is kicking the box. He's throwing the things in our face. But the real truth is, we're going to get, for everything is going to wait for us in the next world. In other words, if we really believe in God, and we understand that we are different. And our belief is at that level, that was even our seven ishma. Whatever God asks us to do, we are going to do because it's for our own benefit. Of course, everybody in his own level, because we are human beings at the end of the day. But the way, that is the way. Let's go to Hashem.